Welcome back to AI Unchained. I'm Jack, and today we've got a packed one because, honestly, AI is moving so fast, even AI can't keep up with the news cycle anymore.
That might be the first thing you've said I completely agree with. Every week, it feels like the leaderboard gets reshuffled. New models, new funding rounds, and suddenly, the companies we thought were ahead maybe aren't.
And that brings us to today's theme, the AI revolution. Big money, big competition, and some very weird internet behavior. We're talking about Anthropic pulling in a staggering $65 billion funding round.
Which, hold on though, also pushes them toward a valuation flirting with $1 trillion. For an AI company that, let's be honest, is still figuring out how profitable any of this actually is.
I'm bullish on it. This could be huge. If investors are putting that kind of capital behind AI infrastructure and models, it tells you something. The race is accelerating.
Or it tells you we might be entering the throw money at anything with AI in the name phase. We've seen that movie before.
Okay, but the flip side is, we're also seeing real product shifts. Apple's reportedly rebuilding Siri for iOS 27 to act more like ChatGPT.
Wait. Apple has been about to fix Siri for like 10 years.
Yeah, but this time, the tech exists. Imagine a native AI assistant baked into the operating system with modern LLM capabilities. That changes the consumer landscape overnight.
Or it highlights how far behind Apple might already be.
See, this is why we do the show together.
Someone has to pump the brakes.
And then we've got the controversy of the week, something being called social animus, which is stirring up debate about how AI systems interact with public discourse and online behavior.
And that story actually connects to something we called out earlier this month.
Exactly. Back on May 1st, we talked about the report that xAI may have used OpenAI models to train Grok. At the time, we said that kind of cross-pollination, let's call it AI borrowing from AI, was probably just the beginning.
And now we're seeing signs that these systems are influencing each other in more subtle ways, especially socially, which raises some uncomfortable questions.
Not to mention another callback. Remember April 24th when we talked about Tencent's hyper-efficient Hi-3 model?
Yeah, the one that made people think cheaper AI could flood the market.
Exactly. And if cheaper models spread everywhere, that accelerates everything we're about to talk about today.
Including the weird parts.
Especially the weird parts.
And we should also mention one more callback from that same May 1st episode where OpenAI had to explain why ChatGPT wouldn't stop doing certain things in conversation loops.
Yeah. That story now looks like an early signal of something bigger happening with AI behavior online.
Which brings us to the tension for today's episode.
Is this an arms race that will unlock insane productivity and new products?
Or are we watching the beginnings of a massively overvalued, poorly understood technology wave?
I'm firmly in the "this changes everything" camp.
And I'm firmly in the "slow down before we crown winners" camp.
Perfect. Let's get into it. Starting with the headline that shook the AI leaderboard this week.
Anthropic raising $65 billion and suddenly eclipsing OpenAI.
Yeah, that one's going to start a fight. Okay, wait. This one blew my mind. Anthropic just raised $65 billion in a funding round that values the company at $965 billion. Billion with a B. That puts them ahead of OpenAI in valuation for the first time. I mean, this could be huge.
Hold on, though. Anytime I hear almost a $1 trillion valuation for a company that's still basically selling access to a chatbot API, my skepticism meter starts flashing red.
But it's not just a chatbot anymore. Claude is becoming the backbone for enterprise AI. Banks, legal firms, healthcare, these guys love Anthropic because the pitch is safe, reliable AI. Remember, the whole founding story was ex-OpenAI researchers saying, we're going to build the responsible version. That brand matters.
Sure, the safety-first brand helped them early, but the flip side is the trust issue that's starting to crop up. One of the critiques floating around is that Anthropic talks a lot about alignment and transparency while still being pretty opaque about how their models actually work or how data gets used. That's a problem if your whole identity is trust.
I hear that. But investors clearly don't care right now. $65 billion of new capital is insane. That means hyperscalers, sovereign funds, big institutional money. They're basically saying, we think AI infrastructure companies are the new oil companies.
Or they're saying, we're terrified of missing the next NVIDIA. Those are not the same thing.
Okay, but think about the scale here. If the valuation is $965 billion, the market is basically pricing Anthropic as a future platform company, like Google-level infrastructure for AI applications.
Or the market is in a bubble.
You always say that.
Because sometimes bubbles are real. Look, let's do the math for a second. To justify a near-trillion-dollar valuation, Anthropic would eventually need hundreds of billions in annual revenue. We're not even close to that for the entire generative AI sector yet.
Wait. But you're assuming today's market size stays static. AI demand is exploding. Every company on Earth is trying to plug language models into their products. Customer service bots, coding co-pilots, research assistants. If Anthropic becomes the default enterprise layer, revenue could scale insanely fast.
The assumption there is they win.
Fair.
Because right now you've got OpenAI, Google DeepMind, Meta, maybe Apple coming in, and open source models improving fast. This isn't a winner-take-all market yet.
But Anthropic has two structural advantages. First, partnerships. Amazon and Google are already deeply tied to them. That gives them distribution and compute. Second, their models are known for being good at long context reasoning. Claude can handle massive documents. Lawyers love that stuff.
Okay, that part I'll concede. Their enterprise positioning is strong. Claude's long context window, basically the amount of information the AI can read at once, is genuinely useful. You can drop in a whole contract library and ask questions about it. That's real productivity.
Exactly. That's why I'm bullish. If you become the AI that corporations trust with their internal data, that's a gigantic moat.
Unless regulators step in, or unless customers realize they're locking themselves into insanely expensive compute bills. Remember, running these models costs a fortune in GPUs and energy.
Sure, but that's also why investors are throwing money at them. The capital arms race matters. $65 billion means more chips, bigger models, faster iteration.
Or it means expectations just went through the roof. If you're valued at $965 billion, the margin for error disappears. One model flop, one safety controversy, one cheaper open source competitor, and suddenly that valuation looks ridiculous.
That's fair, but let me throw a spicy take at you. I think we're watching the birth of the first trillion-dollar pure AI company.
Before they've even gone public?
Yep. I think Anthropic or OpenAI crosses that line privately.
I'm not so sure. The history of tech says platform dominance takes decades, not three funding rounds.
Okay, so you're saying pump the brakes.
I'm saying incredible technology, massive hype, and a valuation that assumes near-perfect execution. That combination makes me nervous.
All right, so we agree on one thing at least. This funding round basically confirms the AI arms race just went nuclear.
Absolutely. And speaking of arms races, the government side of this is getting interesting too, because regulators and national security folks are starting to realize how powerful these models are, which brings us to the next story.
So there's this post making the rounds called Social Animus, and it's basically a window into the emotional chaos of open source development right now. The author says their entire income is about $15,000 a year for being one of the top 300 GitHub users globally. Think about that. Top 300 out of something like 100 million monthly users. That's the 99.97th percentile of developers. And the reward is $15,000.
Hold on, though. That's actually the story right there. The internet runs on open source. Trillion-dollar companies rely on it. And one of the most prolific contributors is basically living on the equivalent of a part-time retail salary.
Right. But here's why I think this matters in a bigger way. We're watching the early days of a new creator economy for code. GitHub, sponsors, bounties, foundation grants. This could be huge if it matures. Imagine if the infrastructure maintainers actually captured the value they create.
I'm not so sure. The flip side is the incentives might just be fundamentally broken. This story shows the social layer is a mess. The author literally says the hardest part of open source isn't coding. It's that there's no institutional screening process. Anyone can show up.
That's the magic, though. Permissionless collaboration built the internet.
Or permissionless toxicity. In this case, the developer collaborates with someone on the Llama CPP project, an anonymous contributor named Slarin, And after they submit the work together, that person goes on 4chan and accuses them of plagiarism.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Not just brutal. The author says the harassment spiral was so intense they developed migraines and ended up in the hospital. They didn't even have health insurance, so they were waiting in the ER while reading anonymous threads attacking them. That's not just online drama. That's a systemic risk for open source communities.
Wait. Before we declare the whole thing broken, let's zoom out. The reason, Llama. ZPP exists. The reason OpenAI models spread so fast. Open source. Those communities move insanely fast because they're open and chaotic. That chaos is also the engine.
Sure, but chaos doesn't scale well when real livelihoods are involved. The author actually says their rule used to be no anonymous contributors, and you don't merge code until someone emails assigning copyright. That's basically the opposite of the typical open source ethos.
Which is interesting because that's kind of like a startup cap table approach. Clear ownership, clear accountability.
Exactly. And the moment they broke that rule, collaborating with an anonymous dev, they got burned.
But anonymity is also why these communities produce breakthroughs. Remember, the post points out the original leak of Meta's Llama weights came through that same 4chan ecosystem. That underground network accelerated AI development by like a year.
And also created an environment where reputational attacks happen with zero accountability.
True, but I'll push back a little. I think we're seeing the adolescence of open source social structures. Early internet forums were chaotic too. Eventually, we built moderation, identity layers, governance.
Maybe. But open source specifically resists hierarchy. That's the culture. The contributor covenant, remember that? It was one of the first attempts to formalize behavior rules in projects during the 2010s culture wars, and even that sparked huge backlash.
Yeah, some developers felt it went too far policing speech.
Right, so you've got this tension, total openness versus safety and professionalism. And right now, the system seems to punish some of the most productive people.
Which, ironically, is where AI might help.
Oh boy, here we go.
No, seriously. Imagine AI tools managing attribution, commit history analysis, dispute arbitration, basically automated governance. If someone claims plagiarism, an AI could instantly show who wrote what.
I mean, maybe for code similarity, but it doesn't solve mob dynamics on places like 4chan.
Fair.
And the bigger question is economic. If a top 300 GitHub contributor earns $15,000 a year, we've built a digital infrastructure economy that massively underpays its maintainers.
Okay, but that's exactly why I'm bullish. Companies like OpenAI, Meta, Anthropic, they rely on this ecosystem. I think we're heading toward a world where foundational maintainers get funded like public utilities.
I'll believe that when I see the checks clearing.
You're too cynical.
No, I'm just looking at 20 years of history where corporations happily consumed open source without paying for it.
Fair point. But the AI boom might force the issue.
Maybe. Or it just creates more anonymous developers fighting on GitHub and 4chan while trillion-dollar companies ship products on top of their work.
Okay. That's bleak.
It's realistic.
All right. So we agree on one thing at least. The social layer of open source is cracking under the pressure of AI era scale.
Yes. And if that doesn't get fixed, the whole ecosystem might burn out its most talented contributors.
Which actually connects to the next thing we wanted to dig into, because some startups think they've found a way to replace that open source labor with AI agents writing the code themselves. And I'm not sure people are ready for what that means. Okay, wait, can we just appreciate how insane this headline is for a second? Anthropic just raised $65 billion. Not million, billion. And that pushes their valuation to $965 billion. This could be huge. We're basically talking about the first trillion-dollar AI startup before it even goes public.
Hold on, though. That's exactly the part that makes me nervous. A trillion-dollar valuation for a private company whose main product is essentially an AI assistant? I mean, we've seen bubbles before.
But it's not just hype numbers. They're saying their annualized revenue run rate crossed $47 billion earlier this month. 47. That's enterprise adoption at massive scale. Companies are literally wiring Claude into their core operations.
Sure, but run rate is not the same as actual realized revenue. Tech companies love that metric. if your current usage continued for 12 months, you'd get $47 billion. But AI usage is incredibly volatile. Budgets change, compute costs fluctuate, companies experiment, and then pull back.
I get that. But even if you haircut it by half, you're still talking about a 20-plus billion revenue business growing at insane speed. That's basically the fastest scaling software platform we've ever seen.
Maybe. But the flip side is the cost structure. Training and running these models burns cash like a rocket engine. The article literally says the funding will go toward compute infrastructure. Translation: buying ridiculous amounts of GPUs.
Yeah, but that's the game right now. Frontier AI is basically an arms race for compute. If Anthropic just secured $65 billion in fresh capital, that's like strapping a jet engine onto their training pipeline.
Or it's a sign the economics don't work yet. If the business was that profitable, they wouldn't need a $65 billion raise. That's the kind of round you see when the infrastructure bill is terrifying.
Wait. Every hyperscale tech platform had this phase. Amazon burned money building warehouses. Uber burned money building networks. AI companies are burning money building intelligence infrastructure.
The difference is warehouses eventually get cheaper. GPUs don't necessarily. Every new model generation demands exponentially more compute.
Unless efficiency catches up. And that's the bet. If Claude Opus 4, what they just released, gets dramatically better per unit of compute, suddenly that infrastructure becomes a moat. You're sitting on the biggest AI brain plus the biggest data center pipeline.
Or it becomes stranded capital if model progress plateaus. That's the risk people don't want to talk about.
But look at who's investing. Altimeter, Sequoia, Dragoneer, Blackstone, Temasek. This isn't retail speculation. These are the most sophisticated investors on the planet betting that Claude becomes core infrastructure for businesses.
Sophisticated investors have absolutely piled into bubbles before. .com, crypto in 2021, SPACs. Big names don't eliminate risk.
Fair. But here's why I'm bullish. The enterprise adoption angle. They specifically said organizations across industries are deploying Claude in their core operations. That's different from consumers chatting with a bot for fun.
I agree, that's the real signal. If AI becomes embedded in workflows, legal research, coding, finance analysis, that's sticky revenue.
Exactly. Once a company builds its internal systems around Claude APIs, ripping it out is like replacing your operating system.
Unless OpenAI, Google, or someone else ships something dramatically better.
Competition is fierce, sure. But here's the wild part. Anthropic's valuation now tops OpenAI's last disclosed valuation, about $852 billion earlier this year. We might be watching the number two player leapfrog the category leader.
Or valuations are just leapfrogging each other in a frenzy. That's also possible.
Come on, though. If an AI company actually crosses a trillion valuation privately, the ripple effects are massive. Talent wars, GPU supply, startup funding, everything shifts.
I'll give you that. The signal to the market is AI infrastructure is now the most valuable layer in tech.
Exactly.
But I still think the trillion-dollar narrative could be getting ahead of itself.
All right, so you're saying bubble risk.
I'm saying extraordinary upside, paired with extraordinary fragility.
Fair enough. I'm still bullish.
I'm cautiously fascinated.
And speaking of the arms race we just mentioned, the compute side of this story gets even more interesting when you look at what's happening with the chip makers right now. Okay, this one is fascinating. Bloomberg leaks iOS 27, and the headline is basically, Siri is getting rebuilt to work more like ChatGPT. Dedicated chatbot app, conversation history, you can upload documents and photos, there's a search or ask interface replacing Spotlight. I'm bullish on this. If Apple finally nails AI on the iPhone, this could be huge.
Hold on though. Finally is doing a lot of work there. Remember, they literally just paid $250 million to settle a class action lawsuit because they marketed AI features that didn't exist yet.
Sure, but...
No. Let's stay on that for a second. They promised Apple Intelligence. People bought iPhone 15s and 16s expecting those features. And now eligible buyers get what? Like $95 per device? That's basically Apple admitting the rollout was a mess.
Okay, fair. But I actually think that's part of why this pivot is interesting. The leak says Siri will run on Google's Gemini tech, Apple reportedly paying Google about $1 billion a year for it. That's Apple basically saying, we're not going to win the foundation model race, so we'll integrate the best models.
Which is wild for Apple. This company historically controls the entire stack, hardware, software, chips, everything. Now their flagship assistant is powered by Google?
Yeah, but strategically it makes sense. Look at what the UI sounds like. You swipe down anywhere and get this search or ask bar. That's basically turning the iPhone into an AI-first interface. Instead of apps first, it's questions first.
Wait. People have been predicting the end of apps for like 10 years.
I know. But this is the closest Apple has come. If you can just say, plan my trip, pull my passport photo, book the flight, and Siri talks to apps behind the scenes, that changes how people use their phones.
The flip side is fragmentation. The leak says users might be able to route queries to ChatGPT, Gemini, or Claude from a drop-down menu. That sounds messy.
I actually love that.
Really? Because now your assistant is basically a traffic cop between AI models. That's confusing for normal people.
Not necessarily. Think of it like browsers. You don't care which server hosts the website. Apple just gives you the interface.
Except the models behave differently. One hallucinated something, another refuses a request, another formats differently. If you're Apple, consistency is the brand.
But choice is powerful. Imagine Apple becoming the operating system for AI agents. The leak even says they're testing letting third-party AI agents install through the App Store.
That's the part that actually worries me.
Really? That's the coolest part.
Because now you're letting autonomous software operate inside the most personal device people own. Messages, photos, documents, location. If third-party agents get hooks into that, the privacy implications are enormous.
Apple will sandbox it. They're obsessive about permissions.
They said the same thing about apps in 2008, and we still ended up with endless tracking battles. Now imagine agents acting on your behalf, booking things, messaging people, reading files.
But that's also the upside. If Apple gets this right, Siri finally becomes the thing it was supposed to be in 2011. A real digital assistant, not just a voice search tool.
I'll believe it when I see it. Siri has been the punchline of AI assistants for a decade.
True. But look at the design shift. Dedicated chatbot app. Persistent conversation history. Rich result cards popping out of the dynamic island. That's basically Apple admitting the ChatGPT interface won.
Yeah, and that's the irony. Apple invented the modern smartphone interface, and now they're copying the chat box.
Sometimes copying the right idea at scale is the winning move.
Or it means they're behind.
Or, last thought here, it means 2 billion iPhones are about to become AI terminals overnight. If iOS 27 ships this to everyone, that distribution is insane.
Provided it actually works this time.
Fair. If Siri launches half-baked again, that lawsuit settlement is going to look like the cheap version of the problem.
Exactly.
All right, speaking of companies trying to bolt AI onto existing products, the next story is another giant doing something similar, but in a very different way. All right, that's a wrap for today's ride through the AI, tech, and policy roller coaster. We hit a lot. AI companies racing to ship smarter models, regulators circling the industry, and the massive capital flowing into chips, data centers, and infrastructure. And look, my big takeaway is simple. The pace is not slowing down. If anything, it's accelerating. This could be huge for productivity across the economy.
Hold on, though. Acceleration is exactly why people should be cautious. We talked about the funding frenzy around AI infrastructure and how governments are scrambling to regulate something they barely understand. The flip side of all that excitement is fragility, overinvestment, policy mistakes, and companies promising capabilities they might not actually deliver yet.
Wait. You're sounding like you did when we talked about AI copilots last year. Remember, you said adoption would be slow.
And I still think I was mostly right. Enterprises didn't flip overnight.
But they did start rolling it out. We're seeing copilots embedded in everything now. Coding, design, customer support. That's the pattern. Slow start, then boom.
Or gradual adoption with lots of hype layered on top. Let's pump the brakes before declaring the AI productivity revolution fully underway.
Fair. But here's my bold prediction for the year ahead. AI agents that can autonomously complete multi-step work, research, planning, execution, will become standard tools inside most tech companies. Not experiments, actual daily workflows. I'm bullish on this.
I'm not so sure. My prediction goes the other way. I think we're heading into a correction in the AI startup market. Too many companies built on thin differentiation. Within the next year, a big chunk either consolidates or disappears once investors demand real revenue.
You're predicting a shakeout?
Absolutely.
I mean, that might actually help the winners.
Exactly. But that's not the same as the whole industry magically working.
All right, so we agree on one thing. This next phase is going to separate hype from real value.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And we'll be watching it closely. Next episode, I want to dig into three things. Where the AI infrastructure money is actually going, whether regulators start drawing harder lines, and which companies are quietly building the most useful tools.
And I'll be watching the other side of that equation, costs, failed pilots, and whether businesses are actually seeing returns from all this AI spending.
Either way, it's going to be interesting.
That's one thing we definitely agree on.
Thanks for hanging out with us on AI Unchained. If you enjoyed the conversation, share it with someone who loves arguing about the future of tech as much as we do.
And remember, enthusiasm is great, but skepticism keeps you honest.
I'm still bullish.
Of course you are.
See you next time.